Luke O'Brien. He's a Milford resident who was attacked during an attempted catalytic converter theft. Hey, Luke.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank
you. How are you doing?
Oh, a lot better. A lot better. Yesterday was the first day I ate a meal. You know, it's still, I can't drink. I still got to use a straw. I can't open my mouth all the way. But I'm feeling a lot better.
Now, tell us what happened.
Well, 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm a carpenter, so I know what tools sound like, and I hear a grinding. And I run out, thinking the guy already ran in the car. I go out to the car, the driver in the car, and the other guy, I didn't know, came from my blind side, ran across me. My face was either a grinding wheel or a sawzall.
Oh, Jesus. Hold on. So it's 2 in the morning. You hear a noise. Did you know it was your neighbor's house, or did you think it was your house?
No, I thought it was my house. It was because we had joint driveways.
Okay, gotcha.
And you can't see over the truck, over my truck.
Okay. So you run out, try to stop. Did you hear, when you heard that noise, you knew, because it's been in the news, that it was a catalytic converter robbery?
Well, I knew it as soon as I heard it from my window. I know that sound. I know that, you know, they've been doing a lot of catalytic converters robberies around here.
Yeah. So you rush out.
I rush out, and I go after the car, the driver, and the other guy came from between the vehicles behind me, and I just caught a glance, pulled my head back. I mean, it happened so fast. You know, it's 1 inch from my artery. If the blade was 1 inch higher, I'd be lower. Or if I was 1 inch higher, I wouldn't be having this conversation today.
We call you jugular, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Wow.
It cut me from ear to the lip all the way through.
How many stitches?
300.
Oh, man.
300 wow. Stitches
wow.
In your neck.
Damn.
So how many people were there? Was there, at that time, was there,
was
one?
There was at least two, because the guy that hit me from behind and the driver, there was at least two that I know of.
Wow.
I mean, that's not quiet when you kind of catalytic converter off the sawzall going through that pipe.
At 2 a.m.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, you cannot miss the sound. If
no.
they were stealing cars, they wouldn't be using a power tool.
Yeah. So the second that you were cut, did you realize how bad it was? Or?
Yes, my son came out. I was yelling. My son came up behind me, and I said, "Jay, I'm cut. I'm cut." He got me to the hospital real quick, Milford Hospital, and then they transferred me to trauma to Yale for emergency surgery.
That's when you know it's bad.
Yeah.
You know, I just didn't have a chance to react, and I'm pretty active, you know. I was quick, but I was dumb at the time. You know, you don't think I'm old school. I'm from Bridgeport. I lived in Milford for 28 years now. And your emotions get the best of you. If I had to do it again, I'd call the cops and let them take whatever they want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You can't blame yourself, man.
Yeah. But, I'm paying the price for it now, though.
Nail the pain.
So I'm guessing the police are looking for these people. Do they have any good leads?
I think so, because there was a couple of cameras here and there, you know, so they're piecing everything together. I got to say, the Milford cops were pretty good, and the detectives are, I know these two detectives are going to get them. They seem, you know, pretty intelligent, so I think they're going to get them. They're smart.
Have they talked to you about what the charges would be?
No, well, I'm sure one is going to be attempted murder. It has to be. I mean, they came
assault,
at me.
Yeah.
You know, so over. You know, I'm over 60 years old. So, you know, I'm a senior, I guess. I don't know, but you know,
well, those hospital bills aren't going to be cheap.
No.
I had to go to Yale again Saturday because my mouth was so swollen, filled with fluid. So they cut me twice. To relieve the pressure, the fluids. So I'm on all kinds of medication. The one medication cost me $1,000. That's for the, because I drool out now. They got part of the gland.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I constantly drool, and that one was leaking through the stitches.
So they need someone to make a couple of $100 off of a catalytic converter.
I mean, would be ready to cut
someone in the neck.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah, I mean, for somebody to do that, they got to be desperate. I mean, well, what's wrong with people today? You know, I mean, but, you know, this GoFund that I had, there's a lot of good people out there, and I'm not going to let this one punk ruin it for all these other good people.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Good for you.
Absolutely.
Did you lose consciousness on the way to the hospital or any point during this?
No, but once I got to the hospital, I was like, starting to go into shock. I was freezing like crazy. I must have, you know, Chaz, I must have lost, about a pint or a quart just in the driveway.
Yeah, bled out big time, yeah.
You had to think, did it cross your mind that this could be it? This could be the last few moments of your life?
Yeah, it did. You know, once I got to the hospital, you know, because I didn't know if they cut the jug or what. I mean, I was just, my face is just the figure. It was just ripped up so bad.
Yeah.
Once you were at the hospital, you felt pretty good about making it?
Yeah. Even the doctor says it was like 1 inch from my, to the artery. So, you know. Yeah, I mean, the doctor there, they did a wonderful job. I mean, stitching me up. They had to stitch me up inside, and I guess there's a layer in between the skins. They had to stitch that up, and then the outside.
Man.
So, which I never knew, you know.
Did they put you out for that, or were you awake the whole time?
No, I was awake. They did,
brutal.
I was in a trauma. They put the Novocaine and all that stuff, so, you know, I didn't feel it.
Yeah.
You know.
So besides the straw, are you able to eat okay?
Yeah, yesterday was the first day I ate pretty good. The first 3 days I didn't eat. Then I ate with a baby spoon because it's the only thing I could squeeze into my mouth.
Yeah.
Because my lips were so swollen. Yesterday was the first day I ate a meal, you know, a small meal. You know?
Okay. Little steps.
Yeah.
Now, they made this legislation where you have to go through all these hoops to sell a catalytic converter. Now, it doesn't seem to have slowed this down at all.
No.
But this level of violence is new. It's new ground. It's bad ground.
Yeah.
Right. And they just don't care. They'll do whatever it takes.
Well, we're glad you're okay, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad to be alive, you know. My family's glad I'm alive. And I play a lot of softball, and, you know, I'm very active. And my teammates and my community and everybody came to my aid. I mean, thank God for them. You know, they keep you going. You got a lot of good people out there.
Yeah, we're glad you're okay. And we hope you get back on your feet soon so you can get back to work.
Yep.
And I hope this financially doesn't screw you up so bad.
Mm.
It's amazing to me that someone who works hard, plays by the rules, can just be, their life can be so disruptive by someone who does the opposite.
Right. Steals for a living.
And, you know, you're stealing from this guy, but then, let me try to kill you too. Unbelievable to me. So we're glad you're okay. You said something about a GoFundMe page. You have a GoFundMe page?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. We will link up on the radio station website if anyone would like to contribute. There's no donation too small.
Exactly. All is up. Yep.
Yeah. Luke, glad you're okay, man. And thank you for coming on. Let us know if you need anything.
Thank you so much. I'm a big fan. I listen to you guys every morning.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm glad Phil's wedding went good.
Me too. Me too.
We all are. We want to hear
it. This guy almost died. He's glad. Phil's wedding with you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. All right. Guys have a wonderful day.
You too, man.
Thank you, Luke. Hang in there, my brother. Luke O'Brien from Milford. He tried to stop a catalytic converter theft and was almost murdered.
Oh.
300 stitches later.
Yeah, they got him with I saw the news report, I guess, like the blade from one of those things was all serrated. Oh.
I just looked up the GoFundMe page, and on it is a picture right after the injury happened with no stitches.
Oh,
just
man.
So it's so brutal. His poor face.
When are we going to stop this?
Seriously.
Yeah. There's a TikTok detective on the show right now.
Okay.
To tell us why you shouldn't send a picture to someone.
Right.
Hey, how are you?
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I'm Chaz. That's AJ.
Hey, how you doing?
Good morning.
Morning.
Mike Arterburn, retired detective who went viral on TikTok. Well, thank you for being a detective.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So why shouldn't we send a picture to somebody?
Well, photos record metadata, and in the data of the photo, when you send it out to somebody, they can enter it into a GPS locator and see exactly where you took the photo.
Really?
How do you so someone gets a photo. Like, does this work just through a dating app or anytime you send a photo?
No. Most of the time when you're on an app like Facebook or something like that, they scrub the data off the photo. But if you say you exchange numbers with somebody and you send them a photo that you took while you're standing on your front porch, they can put that into a GPS locator and see exactly where you were.
Okay.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
How do you put it into a GPS locator?
Yeah, I don't have that knowledge.
That's right. We would not be the ones doing this.
No.
There are apps that will do it for you, but also iPhone has now started doing it automatically.
It's a nice iPhone to do that.
If you go into the photo, and at the bottom of the photo there will be an eye. And you click on the eye, and it'll show, like, camera information and things of that nature, but it'll also show you where the photo was taken.
Really? Well, that's good for detectives solving a crime if the person takes a photo.
Right, yeah. We used to use that. I worked crimes against children and would use that for finding photos of kids that were used in child exploitation, that kind of thing.
Oh, man. So what do we do if we don't want the information out there?
Right.
You can take a screenshot of the photo. Screenshots don't record that data. So if you take a photo, take a screenshot, and then send the screenshot.
How does the phone know one thing from another?
Right.
It's too smart, damn it.
You know?
Yeah.
So I take a picture of myself on my phone, has the data.
Right.
If I take a screenshot of that same photo, it does not have it.
No data.
And it's important for online dating, but I think it's especially important for kids.
Oh, man, another thing you have to worry about.
Seriously. Because then some creep can find the kid where they're at.
Well, that's the thing. You don't really know who you're dealing with.
Right.
You know, because they send you pictures, and it's like, it's not even them.
Exactly, yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm 15, too. Oh, really?
Hey, buddy, okay, sure. I took a photo.
How do you drive?
Yeah, exactly, right.
That's pretty wild. Well, what are some other tips that you would give to kids who are online exchanging information or parents who should be watching some of this stuff?
Well, obviously having open lines of communication with your kids is paramount. But also, if you have like a gaming system or something like that, never in the room, always in a common area where everybody can walk by and see what's going on. If you have little kids, it might be a good idea if they use a headset to take the microphone or disable the microphone so that other people can't guess how old they are.
What do you mean? Sharing of
By the voice, you mean?
Correct, yes.
Oh. See, I think that's a big part of the experience now. They're on the games. They're chatting.
Yeah, it is, yeah. But, you know, you got to try to keep your kids safe if you can.
Right, yeah.
It's harder and harder.
Because anybody jumps in those games, yeah.
Yeah.
Swatting is always a big worry. That's when a gamer gets mad at another gamer, and they call a SWAT team. They call in a fake police run to that address.
And is there any way to track down that person who called the swatting?
Yeah, almost everything is trackable on the internet. It takes quite a bit to be anonymous.
So it ain't happening.
What is it? Eric from Woolcut. Hey, Eric.
Hey, what's up?
Hello.
What's happening?
I just want to let you guys know you can turn off the tracking on any app, and I definitely use it. I definitely turn it off for my camera, because if you look at it, if you send a picture to anybody, it says the location right on top. So you got to turn that off.
Really?
I'm living in the dark over here.
Seriously.
Like, if you take a picture through Instagram, sometimes it'll automatically tag where you took the picture.
I've seen that.
Right. So, like, if you're at a restaurant, it's kind of cool because it's like, oh, here are the other people that have been to this restaurant. Or if you're, like, on, like, a trailhead, if you're hiking. But, like, if you're somewhere you're not supposed to be, you obviously don't want that to be there.
Yeah. Mine just says live. I just took a picture of myself. It says live on top. That's it. It just says live today, 7:39.
All right, but there's more information in there, right? Hey, Eric, thanks for calling. Mike, there's more information. So he just sees live on his screen, right? But there's more information if he were to send that out.
Correct. It's embedded in the data.
Oh, wow.
How would he find what's embedded in there?
You can run it through an app. It's called EXIF, E-X-I-F.
So you can't even just go somewhere in the phone and grab that information to see what it dialed in for information. You have to go to an app
to do that.
And put it in there to get the information because it's coded in. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, you're right. Just take a screenshot of the picture and send it. It's a lot easier.
It's sick.
Yeah. That's a horrible photo. I'm getting rid of that one right now.
Well, the photos will even plop themselves on a GPS. So it'll tell you what town you took it in, what day, what time. And if you swipe up, it'll say the people captured in that photograph and it'll actually plop it on a GPS.
It's not going to much.
It's called a rat phone.
On a map.
It's finked on everybody.
And Mike, this is on all cell phones or just iPhones or what?
As far as I know, it's on Apple and Android for sure.
Okay. Which most of the phones out there.
The big two.
So my mom's flip phone is good.
Yeah, she's okay.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
We have a TikTok detective on. And he's not just a TikTok detective. He's a real detective, retired.
Yeah.
Mike Otterburn. Otterburn.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you for being a detective, and thanks for now trying to make the internet safe.
Yeah.
So how did this all start? Like, your 13-year-old son said, "Dad,
yeah, my son, I didn't know what TikTok was, but he approached me one night and said, Dad, look at this. And he knew that I used to work crimes against children, and it was like 10-year-old girls twerking, wearing next to nothing. And I'm like, there is no way their parents know they're doing this. So he's like, you should make a video on TikTok. And I said, well, what's TikTok? So I made my first video on, on parental monitoring, and it kind of went from there.
So not only did the parents probably didn't know what they were doing, but also they don't know the risk that they're putting themselves in.
Yeah.
They just think this is going to be their friends watching.
Right.
Kids want to go viral, and they'll do stuff. The creepy people will find these girls.
Yes, they will.
100%. When I posed, I hunted internet predators for 7 years. So I posed online as either a 10-year-old boy or a 13-year-old girl. And my screen would fill up with chat offers faster than I could close the windows.
Wow.
That's creepy,
so
man.
So gross.
It's gross, scary. Very gross.
All right, so what are some of the tips that you give on your TikTok channel?
I believe in child monitoring apps. I think if you have a child that has a cell phone or it gains quite a bit, I think that they should have some kind of child monitoring app.
Okay. What does that do? So you could, as a parent, also have the app, and then you can watch what they're doing without going into their phone?
Yes. It's based off of your phone. It has to be on their phone, too, but you have all the controls. And I like Bark. Bark doesn't blow up your phone with, like, thousands of text messages. It only looks for keywords or problematic photos or conversations that they shouldn't be having, especially if it's, not age appropriate.
You have to start as soon as you give your kid the cell phone. It's hard to go from no control to, well, you're 13 now, so now I'm putting this in.
Total control, yes.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
It's weird when you see, like a 6-year-old with a cell phone.
Like, it really is, yeah.
Man, you have no idea what you have in your hands there.
Seriously, right.
Yeah.
Took me a long time to get an iPhone. When I see a panhandler on the side of the road with an iPhone, I'm like, all right, come on.
What other safety tips would you give?
Well, now it seems the hot button issue now is AirTags. Do you know what your AirTag is?
I have those on my dogs. Both of my dogs have an AirTag on their collar.
So they're about the size of a quarter, and they're made by Apple. And they have good intentions. They're good for pets and for lost backpacks and wallets and things of that nature.
Grandma.
But like anything else, they can be abused. And now they're being put on cars to usually track females.
Oh.
Or they're slipped into somebody's purse at a bar, and they don't know they're there until an hour later.
That's scary. Like a little tracking device.
This is, it's almost like the roofie, you know?
Yeah.
You can't leave your drink in a bar.
Yeah.
You can't leave your purse laying around.
Right.
You
got to
be
jacket.
Careful if you leave your jacket laying around.
Yeah, anything.
How big are these AirTags? You said the size of a quarter?
About the size of a quarter, yes, and they're magnetic.
Wow.
You got to find that.
I mean, how do you
the biggest guy there.
How do you, what do you do against something like that? Someone puts one on your car. What do you do?
Well, it's supposed to give a warning tone after it's away from its owner after a minimum of 15 minutes. But I've seen them go hours without alerting. You can get on Android. It's an app made by Apple. It's called Tracker Detect. And it'll show you all the air tags that are around you.
Wow.
And then on iPhone, you go into the Find My app and then devices, and it'll show you air tags.
This is unreal. It's too much work.
Seriously.
It's a full-time job.
Right.
Just working against technology to protect yourself.
Right. So what you do is you find an air tag, you put it like on a speeding train going by. There you go. Good luck. Go find that person.
Yeah. It's too much work.
It really is.
It's too much work.
Right. You pat these people down.
We had that young Chaz that when he was an EMT said, you got to put this on your cell phone where we can look at where everyone is.
Okay.
So I could see where Jennifer is. I could see where young Chaz is. They could see where I am.
Right.
I totally forgot I had this on.
Uh-oh.
And now I'm putting together a surprise party for Jennifer.
Oh. Whoops.
She's like, well, where'd you go to lunch with Rudy? I was like, oh, some place in Waterbury or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, really? Where'd you go? I'm not very good at this.
Take a heart attack quickly.
Yeah. Man. I was at Fairfield. You saw I was at Fairfield.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I was planning your goddamn party.
Lay down. Play dead.
Okay.
Please just let me plan the party.
Right.
Happy surprise.
Yeah. Act like you're surprised. Just right. Act like you're surprised.
Wow.
Kevin, Long Island.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
Hello.
Hi. What the topic is within education is called digital citizenship, where instead of just giving someone a device and using it as a babysitting tool, children are taught at a very early age on how to use it properly. Parents are also at the same time trained on how to, like you guys have been mentioning, surveillance and patrol the kids on the devices. But this isn't an old topic. It's kind of like a gun. Okay, you don't just give someone a gun, even an adult, and expect them to know what they're doing. They have to be properly trained. Well, you know, if you're giving a child at a very early age to use this as a babysitting tool, and as they slowly, out of curiosity, you give it, they start searching on their own. You know, like if you watch these kids at 2-3 years old, they have these things in their hand and they just know exactly where to go and what they're looking for. So, you know, this digital citizenship is really important and something that really needs to be addressed within education, especially at the elementary level, if you want these children to be responsible at an early age.
These companies aren't helping either.
No, they're not.
The big tech companies, because they want all this information.
Oh, yeah.
They sell this information.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's being driven by the corporations and the stockholders and the demand for more and more and more. I mean, it's a tough subject. We all love it and enjoy it, but it's how do we use it appropriately? You know, that's the better question.
Hmm.
They want the information.
Especially for these kids.
And then they're changing constantly how it works. So, like, right when you feel like you get caught up, it's like, oh, by the way, we're changing our everything.
Right.
Yeah. Now that we know about these tags, and now that we know from our TikTok detective to take a screenshot of a picture and then send it, they'll figure out a way around that.
It's insane. Right. It's insane.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yes, you're welcome, guys. Have a great day. Bye.
All right, you too. Yeah, Mike, you agree with all that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I just hate that every time I get a cell phone, all of a sudden it's obsolete. And
yep.
The new one out there.
Got to relearn everything.
I just bought this one.
I can't keep up.
Stop it.
Tell us a little bit. We got about a minute here. Your time. You know what? I'll have you back because we're never going to honor this appropriately.
Yeah, all the stuff.
We only have a minute. I wanted to talk to you about being in a bomb squad post 9/11. So.
Okay.
Yeah. No, thank you for being a detective. Thanks for trying to help the kids be safe.
Yes.
I think we all got to do our part. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We're linked up to all your stuff on the radio station website.
Dumbass.
A raccoon chased a woman and her dog into her home.
All right.
Is she a dumbass?
Why not?
All right, she's from Florida.
Okay.
She was taking her dog for a walk when it spotted a raccoon in a tree.
Uh-huh. Those tree raccoons.
The raccoon ended up attacking the dog and then chased them both into her house. What did they do to get the raccoon down from the tree?
Right. They were living. They were breathing.
If I'm a raccoon, I'm in the tree, I see a woman with a dog, I'll just stay right here.
Right. It's one of those tiny dogs, though, like the kind like a raccoon can easily kick its ass. Like a Yorkie.
And maybe eat.
Right, possibly, right. Maybe they smell like hot dogs. I don't know.
Maybe it was dinner time.
Maybe. Says, okay, fast food right there. Boom.
She used the broom to scare it into a set of blinds. The animal control then came and took it away.
Oh.
This is her talking about the ordeal.
He noticed something in the tree. So he stopped, looked up in the tree. The raccoon just raced out of the tree and charged towards us. So at that moment, that's when I started running. Trying to get in the house as soon as possible. I was basically in like a panic mode. So at that point, I got a mop and I kind of scared it off with the mop. And then it hid in the blind. And it took them a little minute to come. But once they came, they got him and it was over at that point.
What was that sound? Was that from security footage?
That was like her yelling. Yeah, that was her.
Yeah, no. Running away. That was actually. Well, why wouldn't they just play that whole thing?
I don't know. I saw the video wasn't that long. It was basically you saw the raccoon and the dog scrapping, and she's booking towards the house because it's her Ring camera. And like,
did she leave the dog behind?
No, the little dog. The dog's on a leash. She's like, and you know,
she was dragging the dog.
The little dog's like you know, getting into it with the raccoon. Raccoon's like, oh yeah, and, you know, like, you know, rearing up and punching and whatnot.
Did the raccoon get up on its hind legs?
It was on its hind legs.
Little hands.
Yeah, it was on hind legs. It was kind of like you know, like what are you gonna do about it, buddy? You know, that type of deal.
Damn.
And then the little Yorkie's like, you know, scrapping back and forth, and she just, you know, she hightailed into the house.
We
dog
are
followed.
Out of here.
Yep, exactly. That was her screaming. As she ran into the house.
It looks like that's the extent of the clip she sent to the news, too, because they used the exact same
house.
Yep.
Pet panic for an Orlando dog owner, a raccoon attacking a Yorkie right in front of their home. Nykeria Clark says she and her dog, Jojo, first saw the animal while they were out for a walk.
Yeah, Jojo.
She said, get back, Jojo. Mom's waiting for you. With a high heel shoes. Some kind of sweater, yeah.
And a long neck sweater.
Yes, that was it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. Raccoon's probably like in the tree hanging out, and the dog looked up and said, what are you looking at, man?
It's a good question, though. Why would it come down?
Yeah. Well, apparently it threw him a look.
It's supposed to be in garbage cans?
Yeah.
The raccoon may have had... Do they keep their babies in trees? If they do, then she came right down like, get out of here, dog.
I had a raccoon in my tree, and it was just like, just looking at me, just chill. Like, hey, I don't...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing at the project house. I saw a giant raccoon in the tree, and it was fine.
Just, hey, how you been? Good?
Yeah.
They have cute little human hands. Have you ever seen
them?
Actually,
I saw one carry another one up a tree, carry its baby up a tree.
Right, yeah.
That's funny. They carry, they're just like, grab them like a cat, like right behind the neck, and just carry them right
up.
The
scruff thing, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I also got thrown out of a bar that way.
Grab by the back of the neck.
By the scruff of my neck and out the door. Yep.
And it's funny. As soon as you get grabbed like that, it's like, okay, I'm... I guess I'm leaving.
And I've never flown so far.
And I'm
going to
walk on my tippy toes the whole way.
I've never flown so far in my life. Like a broad jump. I actually cleared from the door, across the sidewalk, into the parking lot. Ta-da!
I don't know if John Gill want me to...